All right, welcome to the Free Stretch, folks. Week 10 edition of the show. I am Bobby Fenton. We're coming off the bye week here on JoeBucksFan.com. We should all be tanned, rested, and ready. Certainly the team, you hope, although a couple of injuries we'll talk about. Not everybody's completely rested, but we do look to have a pretty decent squad heading up to roughly near the nation's capital, or wherever the hell their stadium is in Washington. And the Bucks will take on the Redskins there on Sunday at 1 p.m. It'll be on Fox. 6-2 for the Bucks, 2-6 for the for Washington. And Bucks are installed as a 9.5-point favorite coming into this one right now. So thank you for joining us. It's going to be exciting to get back on the horse here after what was a nice, relaxing bye week. I enjoyed watching the games. I spent some time on NFL Red Zone, which I don't spend a lot of time on, honestly, because I'm usually watching the Bucks anywhere in that 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock slot. But, you know, enjoyed the day Sunday. I was actually working, but I still got to watch a lot of football because that's what laptops are for. And so now we get the Bucks back and haven't had a 1 o'clock game that often this year, but we have one this Sunday. And I kind of like getting back in the groove a little bit. So we'll talk about the injury situation as we head into that game, look at some of the matchups there, and a few other things going on around the NFL as we get set to start, well, not really the home stretch, but 9 consecutive weeks of football for the Bucks after the bye week now is over. That'll lead through 17 games and hopefully will lead to an NFC South championship. And the Bucks, in not playing last week, took a big step toward that end. Not just the NFC South, but just the playoff picture in general. And the NFC went really well for the Bucks as Dallas lost, the Rams lost, the Saints, of course, lost on the final play of the game when the Falcons hit a field goal. So things came up Buccaneer quite a bit on Sunday, and we hope that keeps going this Sunday. The Free Stretch, like it always is brought to you by our good friends at Bill Curry Ford, where you can buy whatever you want. Brand new, used, pre-owned, car, truck, van. Obviously a ton of Fords, but not just Fords, they got other ones too. Check it all out if you go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. Remember, it's spelled C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. You can see everything there. The online, transparent, no-haggle pricing is right there, so you see that too. Maybe pick out a few favorites, and then go to the dealership. Well, it's right there, a mile north of the stadium, of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry, where it's always been, just north of Hillsboro. It's on the east side of the road. Check them out. If you don't want to go in person, or you want to wait and just, you know, figure out some things from the comfort of your own home or office, they will bring you a vehicle to test drive without you even having to do anything. They'll bring it over to you. So do that too if you want to. But either way, the website's your first stop. Again, BillCurryFord.com. And no matter how you do it, whatever way, whatever how, you get the unlimited nationwide lifetime warranty for the life of the vehicle as long as you own it. And you have engine trouble, you bring it back in, you're covered, which is just incredible peace of mind to go along with what's going to be a quality vehicle no matter what you purchase. So thanks to them for taking care of the show. Thanks for Joe Bucks Fan for allowing me to have this platform in front of all of you. Like I always say, the single best place for Bucks coverage anywhere, TV, radio, internet, no matter what, it's one-stop shopping at JoeBucksFan.com. And we got a big show ahead of us, a big week ahead of us, because this is what we've been waiting for, kind of, with the schedule to level out. And, you know, the Bucks, we were hoping would get that win in New Orleans a couple of weeks ago and really set them up going into the bye week and really set them up for what I call the soft underbelly of the schedule. It didn't happen in New Orleans, but they still get the schedule lightening up now. This is a Redskins team that's 2-6, has lost 4 games in a row, and the Bucks hopefully have a chance to sink their teeth into things. They will be, it looks like, and this is not a surprise, but still no AB. Antonio Brown is rehabbing, and you can watch his rehab on Instagram all you want. He puts stuff up there all the time. Doesn't look like Rob Gronkowski's going to be back anytime soon because the Bucks made a move this week and signed tight end Darren Fells, and he's actually not just being signed as some, you know, extra add-on. I mean, he's going to play, according to Bruce Arians, who was talking about that this week. Same thing with wide receiver Breshad Perriman, who actually did already play for the Bucks in a stint in 2019. He had 6 touchdowns that season, and he has been signed. So no AB, no Gronkowski. Scotty Miller is eligible to come off IR. I'm not sure. As of right now, he has not, and I'm not sure they're going to do that just yet. So outside of Mike Evans, you've got a game-time decision, Chris Godwin, because he got hurt on a tackle against the Saints, something with his ankle. And he didn't practice this week until today. I'm doing this on a Friday because there was no school yesterday, so I had my kids all day. But today's Friday. It's right about midday. And he's out there not doing everything, but he's out there. And that's a good sign, because it looked like he may just be completely out Sunday. But as of now, Bruce Arians said this morning he could be a game-time decision. And even if he doesn't play against Washington, it's not a serious thing, and he should be fine after that. But you're looking at someone like Tyler Johnson needing to step up, because right after Mike Evans, if there's no Godwin, already no AB, you know, he's kind of the next guy in line. And then, you know, Perriman could factor as well. We've seen him do it before for the Bucs. That was a couple years ago, though. He hasn't even been active for a game since then. So that's, you know, a bit of an issue. Defensively, the injuries, Sean Murphy Bunting is out there practicing. We're not sure if he'll play. You know, his legs are fine. He had the elbow injury. So he's getting closer. If not this week, it's probably going to be next week. Carlton Davis, still no word. Everyone else should be okay in the secondary there. So it's just one of those games that I always call a TCB game, a take care of business game. I mean, you're coming off a loss and a bye week. I mean, all the ingredients are there for the Bucs to go up there and handle their business and win this game. But, you know, the way it's been going the past couple weeks in the NFL with some of these big upsets, it's not a gimme. And I talked about two shows ago, I think, how teams that were a 7-plus point underdog were 26-0 at one point this NFL season. Well, in the last 2 weeks, teams favored by 7 or more are 1-5, and not against the spread, outright. Underdogs of a touchdown or more are 5-1, and then in the last 5 days alone, that number is 4-1. You saw it with the Bills and the Jags this past weekend. You saw it if you're listening on a Friday. I'm recording on Friday, but last night, Thursday night football, the Ravens just laid a stinker down and let the Dolphins jump up and beat them in a game that was not really fun to watch, but still was better than not having football on at all. And there have been a few other ones, too. So, you know, survivor pools, if you're in one of those, and I was, you know, I was one of the first ones to get bitten on that because I took the Bengals over the Jets a couple weeks ago thinking, oh, yeah, touchdown plus favorites, no problem, it'll be fine. And of course, they went down. And since then, a lot of other people have gone out of those pools on teams like Dallas losing to Denver, on teams like I said, the Bills losing to the Jags, on and on and on. It's been happening right and left. So, you know, you're not safe just because you're a big favorite. Although, again, I think that there's no reason why the Buccaneers should not be okay in this game against Washington. Looking at some of the matchups in the game, you know, little things. Like, for example, the Redskins, I keep saying the Redskins, Washington had been without their right tackle, Samuel Cosmi, and Brandon Scherff, their guard. He's all pro. And they're going to be back this week. They both missed most of the last four games. Their starting center, though, is now out. He broke his leg. He was fifth in pass blocking efficiency. And so now you're going to have a backup center, Tyler Larson, across from Vita Vea. Now, Washington already targets their running backs a lot on passing routes. They are fifth, I believe. 24.5% of the time they pass, they go to a running back. And, you know, if the Bucs pass rush can get a little bit going, that number will probably stay pretty high, as Taylor Heinicke will have to get the ball out pretty quick. As far as the other side in the trenches, you know, the Bucs' offensive line has just been rock solid against everybody this year. Washington's defensive front is pretty good. You know, obviously Chase Young and others. Their overall pressure rate is 10th. But again, the way the offensive line's been playing for the Bucs, and Montez Sweat is out for Washington. So you look at a Bucs offensive line that is the best in the NFL in pass blocking, and they've given Tom Brady a 2.37-second average time to throw. That's second overall. Of course, Brady, even if he doesn't have that much time, is very good at getting the ball out quick. But he's had plenty of time, plenty of clean pockets. Yeah, there's some matchups up front. You know, Chase Young's no slouch, and more, too, I believe. But the Bucs offensive line, I think, will be okay. They're obviously having the weapons at receivers, what you're not sure about. But I feel, you know, I mean, Brady did this for so many years with guys a lot lesser than what the Bucs have even this week at receiver, let alone, you know, what he had in New England, and let alone what he normally has here for the Bucs. I'm not too worried about it. I think the Bucs should be fine there. And this is a game you got to go up there and just, like I said, get the job done, get in, get out. There is no reason to be, and in fact, if I was still in a survivor pool, which I'm not anymore, and even though the Bucs aren't at home, I would probably take the Bucs in this one. So maybe I'm sealing their fate, and y'all can yell at me next week if the Bucs end up dropping this game. But I feel like this is a good spot coming out of the bye, coming off a loss. All the ingredients are there for the Bucs to be successful on Sunday. But either way, if you look at the NFC standings right now, and right now it's you know, not quite the halfway point because of the 17th game, the Bucks are still in pretty good shape, and it's really still too early to start looking at things like tiebreakers and things like that. And, you know, we'll know more as we get to later in the season, and we'll see how big of a factor the 17th game is. I'll tell you this much, you know, just looking at the whole season and how does the 17th game feel? And, you know, right now we don't know yet because we haven't actually gotten to the late part of the season, but I already don't like it because, you know, one of the things I always say is that football is the best sport for so many reasons, but one of the reasons biggest reasons I think it's the best sport is because of the premium there is on each game and how each game feels so big, how each game feels like an event. You know, I love baseball as a fan, and I love playing baseball and all that stuff, but baseball games never feel that urgent because there's so many of them. And hockey and basketball, you know, only somewhat less. But football games, I mean, I say this all the time, even just a routine like red zone possession in the second quarter of a week five game feels big. You feel like your season could turn if you don't get that extra touchdown instead of a field goal. Maybe you lose that game, and maybe that game's the difference. You know, there aren't that many games. So 17 as compared to 16 isn't a huge increase, but it already feels like the games mean less. Like there's just so many games. I know it's just one more. It's just a psychological thing. And yet that's the way I feel right now. It feels like there's a little bit less urgency with each game, which I never like. Tom Brady was actually on, he was on a podcast this week, somebody's podcast. I don't want to not attributed, but I can't remember. But anyway, he said he really like laid into the 17th game. He said it was a terrible deal for the players, said it was ridiculous, said the players had no business taking the deal. Here, I'll find the exact quotes here because I want to give proper attribution to this here. But he was, and I, you know what? I totally get it. And this is not talking about a competitive standpoint as far as the urgency. He was talking about it from a football standpoint. But here, let me look it up real quick here. Okay, here we go. Brady's quote, and I will read it to you. He said, "I think it's pointless. I thought it was a terrible decision, so I don't like the fact that we're playing a 17th game at all. I think 16 is plenty, and again, you're 8 games into the year, and you're not even halfway through. So that's kind of a little frustrating aspect. So whatever, we'll play it. It's there. And a lot of guys will probably miss games over the course of the season anyway, so they don't play all 16. But if you're fortunate to be able to make it through a season and you got to play the 17th game, I think there's a lot of things that I would adjust to." And yeah, he's right. I'm adjusting to it as a fan, even though we're only in week 10 and we haven't actually gotten to the point where the 17th game is happening yet. But either way, what really doesn't bother me that much. I'll tell you what's bothered me so far this NFL season. And I've said this before, it's nothing new, but it's gotten worse this year. And if you look at football, man, they really need to just rethink some of the ways we penalize players, and they really need to rethink some of the ways we assess penalties. Because, like, that game Monday night between the Bears and the Steelers, and this whole taunting thing, and the player safety and the late hits on the quarterback and things like that, it's really, really a drag as a fan. And it made me, like, Monday night was the first game this year where I really didn't even watch the end of a game because the whole thing felt cheap. Because there were so many, and it wasn't even any one team, there were so many times in that game where an atrocious 15-yard penalty was called, and it swung the game one way or the other, completely affected things. And again, it happened both ways, but some people might say, oh, it evened out. I don't believe in that. Every one of those things just makes the game feel less and less real and makes it feel more and more like pro wrestling. And, you know, of course, the one everybody's talking about is the taunting call. And the taunting thing has gotten, you know, before the season we talked about how they said, oh, we're going to make this a point of emphasis. And I said, you know, this can go either way. This can end up being one of those things they talk about. And then by week 3 or 4, it doesn't seem like that big of a deal. And they almost don't even treat it any differently than any other year. Or they could really and truly have a hard-on for these penalties, and it's going to be annoying, and it's going to start affecting games. So the first few weeks weren't that bad, but the last few weeks they've really started to call some garbage. And this one the other day was where a Bears player, like, it wasn't even to an individual guy, it was toward the Steelers bench. He kind of, like, looked at the bench and postured a little bit. And they throw a 15-yard, I mean, just the most asinine thing. So I'll say it again. I'm saying it one more time. No, I'm not. I'm going to say it many more times, but I'll say it one more time on today's show. non-football penalties. First of all, there should be no such thing as a 15-yard penalty. Penalties should be either 5 yards or 10 yards. The field's only 100 yards long. 10% of the damn field is plenty, okay? First of all. Second of all, non-football penalties, taunting, late hits, things after the play, you know, whatever it is. Roughing or running into the punter. Well, roughing, they already do this, but running into as well. No more automatic first downs. And not only that, the yardage, even if it gets you a first down, it shouldn't be a first down. So if it's like second and 8 from the 30-yard line and there's an incomplete pass and you get a taunting call, okay, 10-yard penalty, move to the 40-yard line, but it's still second and 8, or no, now it's third and 8 because it was incomplete pass. So literally the only part of the penalty should be the yards. The down and distance should not change. And there's no automatic first downs. If you did that, I think it'd be okay. But that's the problem. You get like a huge stop on third down. And, you know, they got like the no hitting the quarterback in the face rule. They called one of those last night on the Dolphins, which again was just atrociously bad. But okay, let's say you put your arms up to try and block a pass and you miss and you sweep your arm down and it grazes the QB's face mask. That's illegal now. Fine. They call that right now a 15-yard penalty and an automatic first down. So let's say you get a big third down stop on third and 8, and you do that. Okay, it's still fourth and 8. You can move the whole play up 10 yards, move the sticks up 10 yards too, but still maintain the same down and distance, 10-yard penalty, fourth down, you're still punting. Now you've assessed a penalty. Now you've made it so players are disincentivized from doing it. Now you've made it so that their coach will still get on them when they get to the sideline for the penalty, which is the real penalty here. And yet you haven't altered the outcome of the game for something that had nothing to do with anything. Same with, you know, the helmet to hell. That's another one. The helmet to helmet, which again, I get. I'm not trying to say don't have helmet to helmet rules in place. I don't want guys hitting each other like that. But some of these get really, really shaky. They're not all just dirty plays where guys use their head like a missile. A lot of times it's just incidentally when a tackle's made, two helmets collide. You can't be giving out first downs like that. The Bengals-Jets game, and yes, I'm still bitter because it eliminated me from my survivor pool, but that game was turned. The Bengals had a chance to get a third down stop, get the ball back at the end, and the guy made a routine tackle, and their helmets hit, and it wasn't even because he used his helmet as a weapon, just literally tackled the guy, and their helmets hit. End of the game. They gave the Jets a first down. That was it. No, move the ball up 10 yards, still fourth down. Stop tying these things to first downs. And stop tying these things to down and distance. I think if you did that, it'd be a lot better for everybody because you'd still be achieving the same ends you're trying to achieve. But I know people are going to say, well, they're not driving away fans. No, you're right. They're never going to drive away fans. This could happen 15 weeks in a row and I could throw my remote in disgust. And in the 16th week, my ass would still be right back there on the couch in front of it watching more football because I love it. Football's the best. Anytime there's football on, I'm there. I was watching Dolphins-Ravens last night, and my buddy Drew was texting me. He was saying, God, this is awful. Like, there's really just no reason for this. And I said, no, there is a reason for it. Because there's football on tonight, and there wouldn't have been without this game. And Thursday nights, I look forward to when we get through the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Once we hit Thursday, like midday, I start thinking, you know what? It's pretty much the weekend now. We've got football tonight, and there's college game too. But once you get an NFL game, you had something that, to me, that your night's plan, we're good to go. I loved it. I loved every minute of that crappy game last night, even though it sucked, because the alternative was not having a football game on TV. So, I'm fine with it. Yes, you're right. The NFL could do any number of horrible things, and it will never drive me away. That doesn't make it okay. You know, you still should try to put the best product on the field that you can. And I'm all for the safety thing. The taunting thing I think is way overblown, but the safety stuff I get. But either way, that's a simple tweak right there that you can make across all of football. And they should do this at the college level too, because I can't think of a single person who wants to see a drive extended or a touchdown disallowed or some other giant game-changing play based on things that have nothing to do with actual football. I mean, does anybody want... Maybe some of these old guys do. I think some of these old white guys don't like watching young black players celebrate. I know for a fact that's really the impetus behind a lot of this stuff. And in college, too. And so that's where some of the taunting thing, all that stuff comes from. But does it really have to affect games? Is it not enough just to punish the player by charge, and you're punishing the team by charging them a yardage penalty. Their coach is still going to yell at them and all that stuff. You'll still get guys don't want to do it, and you know. And besides, has it worked already under the current rules with all these points of emphasis and things like that? And we still see a ton of it. Doesn't seem like it's changed that much. Like, does the game seem like it has fewer of those vicious hits? I mean, maybe there are a few, but a lot of this stuff is you're trying to legislate things that you can't legislate. So now you just decide to make more calls. You know, usually you make a rule like this, the hope is if we make more calls at first, eventually we won't have to call it as much because the behavior will eventually correct itself and guys won't be doing it. But it doesn't feel like that's what's happening. They, you know, maybe I could be wrong. So anyway, email me if you want to. If you have thoughts, bobbygameday@yahoo.com is the email address. BOBBYGAMEDAY @yahoo.com on Twitter. You can get me at Bobby Game Day. One more little bit of league news, and this is a minor thing, but it's jumped out to me because it's been a while since I thought about NFL Sunday Ticket. But the bidding is going on for that. You know, the Sunday Ticket contract expires after next season. So then, right now it's on DirecTV, which means you have to get one of those dishes on your house, which I would never want, ever. So if you do that, then you can get Sunday Ticket. But next time around, it's going to probably go to, who knows? I mean, it could be Apple TV. It could be any one of these streaming thing. All the I'm not a streaming guy. So anyway, the point is, I was reading this on ProFootballTalk.com, and looking at that, I was wondering if anybody even uses Sunday Ticket anymore. Like, does anybody out here listening right now? I know we've got listeners that are Bucks fans. Although I've had people email me from London. I've had people email me from Germany. And that's different. That's not even the United States. But I've had people email me from all over the country that are Bucks fans that listen to the podcast. And like I always say, love hearing from you guys. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com or Twitter @BobbyGameDay. Do y'all use Sunday Ticket? Because I'm a football fan and I know lots of football fans, like my friends, my demographic, my buddies. I know a lot of people. And I don't think I know a single person who has Sunday Ticket. I know plenty of Red Zone people. But Sunday Ticket, and the league even has said this, is what they say, quote, ripe for innovation. Because, and for those of you who don't even know what Sunday Ticket is, that's the one where you pay, it's $300 a year, and you can get all the games. So not Red Zone where they jump around, that's a separate thing, and that's great in its own right. But Sunday Ticket just means literally every game being played, you can tune in and watch the actual full telecast of it as it's happening. And I think most people, I mean, there's some real hardcore football people out there, but I think most people that want Sunday Ticket probably want it because they live in a place where they can't watch their favorite team automatically, and they want to be able to watch their favorite team. So that seems like a product you could innovate, and by innovate, all I simply mean is, you know, maybe let people purchase it by team. You know, like if there was a way, and not that $300 for a full season is a, you know, bank breaker or anything, but if I didn't live in Tampa, for example, and I've lived in Tampa my whole life, except for college, but I've lived in Florida my whole life. If I lived in just, you know, let's say I lived in Denver, you know, whatever, just some random place, I would pay the $300 and just have all the games. But if you gave me a way to just pay for the Bucks games, that's really all I'd be doing it for. I'd probably be even more likely to do it then, even though I'd be loath to put a satellite dish on my house. And I think most people that, or even by week, like, okay, I want it for week 8, I don't want it for week 9. You know, maybe the Bucks are playing on Sunday night football or Monday night football or Thursday night, so I don't need it that week. But I'll pay for week 1, I'll pay for week 3, I'll pay for week 5. You know, just all kinds of ways you could divvy it up. And maybe they'll go this route, I don't know. But I'd be interested to hear from anybody who already lives outside of the area and tries to follow the team. And this all goes back to what I've said about the NFL before. The one thing I think they could do better, well, not the one thing, but one of the things, and it goes back to the 17th game that I was talking about before. You know, the NFL plays, it used to be 256 games, now it's 272 when they added the 17th game. There's 272 games every year combined, total regular season games. So many of those are not available to you. I mean, how many available are you? Do you have as a regular, typical viewer who just has cable, which is most people? You got your 3 games between CBS and Fox and the 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock slots. That's 4 slots. They usually give you 3. Like, you don't get 2 in both slots. You usually get 2 in one of them and 1 in the other. Then you get Thursday night football. You get Sunday night football and get Monday night football. So usually there's six games every week that you can watch. Like I want without having to do anything besides have cable. Out of, in a regular week with no bye weeks, 16 games. If you have some bye weeks, it's 13 or 14 games. So it's less than half the games that people can watch. And this is why I said what they should have done is add a second bye week. Like we just had the bye week. It wasn't that bad, right? Like y'all were okay. I was okay. I love how if you could have a Bucks game every day, that'd be great, sure. But I mean, it wasn't like that big of a deal. And then you still have an 18-week season. Then you're still making more money because you have more Sunday night football to sell, more Monday night, more Thursday night. And yes, ticket revenue wouldn't change, I guess, because of the total number of games. But the TV revenue would still increase. You've got your expanded playoffs now, which I also don't like. I wish it was still the six teams, but fine. And you could still make more money, give guys more rest. Like the players would still be playing the same amount of games with an extra week. I thought that was the best way to go about it. And of course, you know, if they add the 18th game, they probably will add the second bye week then. But in any event, that doesn't matter right now. What matters is the Bucks going up to Washington to take on the Washington team. I don't like saying Washington football team. It sounds too much like soccer. So anyway, they'll play them Sunday at 1 and look to get back in the win column after a loss and a bye week. So it's really been 3 weeks since the Bucs won a football game, which we can't get. You know, it'll be 4 weeks if they don't win this one. They got to pull it out on Sunday up there, and I think that they will. I think they've got a good matchup here, and I think the situation fits them well, too, considering they're coming off that bye week and coming off a loss. But either way, we'll be back next week to talk about it all. Thank you for joining us again. If you want to email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. You can follow me or message me on Twitter, @BobbyGameDay. And until then, thank you to our sponsor, Bill Curry Ford, as always, for taking care of the show. Thanks to our good friends at JoeBucksFan.com for giving me the chance to do this show and put it on their website in front of all of you, the number one place anywhere for Bucks coverage. I'll be back next week. Enjoy the weekend of football, both high school first-round playoff games going on this weekend. So a lot of kids out there are going to be playing their final high school game. Good luck to everybody out there who's got a game, college on Saturday. I'm not as excited about that these days as I have been in other years. And, of course, the Bucks game Sunday. Until then, I'll be back next week, wherever you are. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.